Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. Please enjoy the following message.
Out of context, and you kind of wonder what does that really mean? And it's unfortunate that a lot of preachers sometimes and some churches make total doctrines out of verses and passages taken completely out of context. I don't want to give any examples for the sake of time, but just to give you a couple of verses that get kind of taken out of context. It's important to understand context. Can you turn to about three neighbors and just tell them, context is important. Context is important, right? How many of you would say context is important? Not just in the Bible, but in conversation, in general conversation. Because if you don't have the whole context, that's how gossip starts, right? And so, I mean, I've been in many situations where not the full context was understood, and because not the full understanding was there, there was room for gossip and backbiting and all that sort of stuff. But we want to be a church that kills all of that because we want to understand context, and the context of what God is fully speaking to us. And so, as we're understanding that, you know, there's a couple of places that we can go to in the Bible that get taken out of context all the time. Romans 8:28 is a good one. How many of you know Romans 8:28? It's come on, give it to me. No. That's why we need to do the Purple Book Challenge, man. Romans 8:28 says, "For all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose." Okay, so it's one thing to just read that verse, and some people even read half of that verse. For all things work together, or even end right there. For all things work together, well, good on you. For the good, and they'll say, "Oh, all things will work together for the good, brother," and they don't finish the verse, and so it kind of leaves them hanging. Actually, if you look at that verse and the context of which it falls, it's actually in the context of a deep prayer. The verses immediately before it talk about a deep intercession where you stop speaking the language you came in with and you actually start groaning. And in the depths of that prayer and the depths of that desperate groan comes the plan, the all things working together for the good of those who love him and accord according to his purpose. Now, the verse that I want to emphasize, which is one of the verses that we have here, is Jeremiah 29:11. Some of you may have it on a refrigerator somewhere. Some of you may have it on a postcard that you got from Koorong. And it says, on the last, the verse 11 says, down the bottom there. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." How many of you have heard that verse? Just black the screen out for me for a second, for effect here. "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future." How many of you know that? That sounds exciting when you read it like that. Woo! God has a plan for me. Even with an echo, it's awesome. "Plans to prosper me and not to harm me, plans to give me a hope and a future." How many of you know that when you read it at face value, it sounds like God exists for me? He exists as my plan maker. How many of you know that the Bible is not centered on the story of me and how he exists to serve me, but the Bible is centered around the story of him? And so when you read that verse in face value, it's easy to actually become man-centered in your approach to that verse, knowing the plans he has for me, like as if he makes the plans, as if he exists to just make my plans. And all of his plans are prosperous to give me a hope and a future. Now, I have a particular perception of what hope and a future looks like. Like for some of us, it might be a big house with a nice car. How many of you like big cars, like a SUV? How many of you like fast cars? How many of you like to have a car at all? You'll just be happy. Just be happy. All my students say, yeah. Praise you, Jesus. Even a matchbox, Lord. Hot Wheels, in the name of Jesus, we call it. But when you look at that at face value, you've got to understand that that gives a totally different theology from the rest of the theology of the Bible. it's important to understand the context of where that verse falls. And so I'm going to come and address this within the context of where it comes. Now, some of you may have heard me talk about this before, but I want you to really just ask God for open ears, because I really feel like God has got this for each one of us in this room. And this is relative to what we are talking about in terms of hearing God. As we start from verse 4, go ahead and put it up, Michael. Verse 4 says this: "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." The Hebrew actually describes him as El Elyon, which is the most high God in this verse, or the Lord of hosts. Some of you in your Bibles will have the Lord of hosts. Any of you have your Bible open and it has the Lord of hosts? Meaning that, number one, he is the Lord of hosts. You think that you know how to host in your own home. God knows how to make people feel welcome on a level that you have no idea about making people feel welcome. He knows how to make the most broken people, the most unlovable people, feel welcome in his presence. He is the Lord of hosts. You think you're a good host? He's the Lord of hosts. Not only that, but he's the Lord of hosts, meaning that the vastness of his creation is of what God hosts us with. He is a great creator of all the hosts of stars and galaxies and universes. And a universe, there's only one. But understanding that is the God that is speaking to the people of Israel. Now, you got to understand this too. This is a part of the context. The people of Israel were in exile in Babylon during the time of Jeremiah when he was speaking this. Now, there's a difference between the exile in Babylon and the slavery in Egypt during Moses' time. Slavery in Egypt, they had no say whatsoever. They were property of the Egyptians. Now, as they were in exile in Assyria and then later Babylon, it was possible for them to hold positions of authority within that kingdom. How many of you remember Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all during the time of exile, were able to hold prominent positions within their sphere of influence in Nebuchadnezzar's court? They were able to hold jobs, hold those opportunities, and be prominent to the point where they were so excellent they were thrown into a lion's den or even thrown into fiery furnaces because they were excellent at their work. But they were not willing to cower or to compromise. So there's a difference between exile and slavery. Are you with me tonight? Okay, so it's an exilic existence of which Jeremiah is giving this prophecy from the Lord. How many of you know we are in exile, not in Australia, but on earth? Because we, you know, might say, I didn't want to be here. I just want to correct that, you know. We want to be here, but this is not all there is to it. Because some of you may be looking at this place and thinking, well, this is all there is. Eat, drink, and be merry, because you're surely going to die, but there is a life after this life. And not only that, but God's eternal life starts right now with a different perspective. And so we understand that, yes, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. God will eventually bring us out of this world. Okay, so there is an exile, a spiritual exile of which we are in. But notice what he says here, okay? Let me just do this exercise real quickly. How many of you were not born and raised in Brisbane, Australia? Put your hands up. Look around. It's about 90% of us, okay? For those of you like Laura who were born and raised here, we should honor the princess of Brisbane and all the rest of you. This is your land. Deadly. Deadly, bro. Here's what it says to the rest of us here in Brisbane or the Gold Coast. Shout out to GC. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Some of you like this next part. Marry. Hallelujah. And have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Now, I'm just going to read up until they black it out real quick. It says to build a life here. Now, the most common question I was asked when I used to live in Singapore, you know, I've been here now for 7 months. Prior to the 7 months, I was living in Singapore for the last 8 years. And the most common question I was asked, you know, I'd get into a taxi And the taxi drivers would think I was either Malay or Filipino. And they either try to talk to me in Tagalog or Malay. Brother, if it was a Malay driver, brother. And then they'll go into Malay and I'll be like, sorry, I'm not Malay. Oh, what are you then? An alien. What do you know? What sort of question? What are you then? You know, how do you answer that? So I'd explain to them I'm from New Zealand. And there would be one of two responses, right? It would either be, oh, you look like a hobbit, you know, Lord of the Rings. Or it would be, can you do the haka? They would ask me to, like, and without fail, they'll ask me to do the haka in the taxi. I'm like, the haka is not a solo act. You have to have some brothers behind you. And then secondly, if I do the haka right here, you're going to have holes in your floors. And we're going to be doing Flintstones up and down this taxi in Singapore, you know. And so the question that would always follow that one is, how long do you see yourself here? And they would always, you know, say, ah, why are you here? New Zealand is so beautiful one. I see Lord of the Rings. It's so beautiful one. Why you come here long? And they would ask me, how long do you see yourself here? How many of you have ever been asked that question here? Okay, most of us. Now, you got to watch out because there is an attitude that comes with how you answer that question. Watch me. If you say that you're here for the 2 years of your work contract, or 3 years, or 5 years, you will serve and live and dwell in this place with that in mind, with a temporary attitude. This is where, you know, what Lily was sharing kind of confirmed for me that I was supposed to go here tonight. When Scripture says to these people who are in exile, okay, understand, they wanted to get out of exile because they were under the rulership of the Babylonians who would impose their gods and impose their belief systems upon them. How many of you are in situations where other people's belief systems are being imposed on you, or other people's standards are being imposed on you as a follower of Christ? But the Spirit of the Lord would say, in the right context, build houses. Build a life here. The way I would answer that question to the taxi driver is, I'm here because God called me here and I don't see myself leaving. Now, obviously, you're looking at me, what are you doing here now then? See, that will give you one of two things. That will either, number one, take you deeper in the land that you're supposed to dwell in, or number two, it'll accelerate the process of you being taken to wherever God's called you to next. Because God wants to teach you a certain attitude of how you answer that question. Build houses for yourselves. Own them. And notice that, throw it up one more time, bro. Find wives for your sons and daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. There's an attitude of generational thinking. It's not just, okay, I'm here, but my kids are going to get educated elsewhere, and that's okay, but like, own this. We may be a church called Every Nation Brisbane, and we celebrate the fact that we are an international church. We are a church that is multicultural. We celebrate that because that's what God is doing in this place, in this church. But we are not going to be multicultural and transient in our mentality as to how we approach being here and living here in Brisbane. No matter how long you're here, whether you're here for 3 months, 3 years, or for the rest of your life, the Lord would say, the Spirit of the Lord would say, own it. Own this place. Build houses. Think generationally. Think of how you can bring your children up here. I'm so thankful that I'm in Australia, and this is just a wonderful place to bring up my kids. And God's given me this wonderful opportunity to, you know, to be a part of this church, to build wonderful relationships with you all. But I'm racing to the end here, because as you see this attitude shift, you're going to see God's anointing and God's blessing come upon your household. Now watch what it says next. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. What? God brought me into exile? Yes, He did. He brought you here. Some of you may have come here with the wrong motives. I came here to make a buck. I know a lot of people are leaving New Zealand, where I come from, because of the financial opportunities, and that's not wrong. But if it's not the will of God for you to be here and you're just coming here because you're chasing after dollars rather than chasing after destiny, then you're in the wrong place. Well, some of you have, not you, but you have friends, right? You know the friends that live in New Zealand and then they, get in the wrong relationship, something goes foul, and then I'm off to Brisbane. I'm off to Gold Coast. I'm going to hide. How many of you know that that's not the right reason to be here either? But God can take that which was not redeemed and redeem it if you repent. And if you turn your attitude towards the godly reason of being here, and that is to glorify God in your dwelling, in your being here. Seek the peace and the prosperity of the city. God wants us to seek the welfare. Other versions say the welfare of the city. So it's not a matter of what I can get out of Brisbane. It's what I can do to serve Brisbane. What I can do to better Brisbane. What I can do to better Australia. Because in you seeking the welfare of the city, God seeks your welfare. That's what the scripture says. Pray to the Lord for it. Because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Seek the welfare of the city. How deep are your roots in this nation, in this city? You know, some of us may be visiting here. I know we have Lily's parents here who are just visiting. But for the rest of us who call Brisbane home, how deep are your roots here? Well, you've got a lot of nerve. You've only been here 8 months, but it's an attitude. It's an attitude, guys. That as we sow ourselves here, there's a blessing that comes from God towards us. This is the context. I'm just going to jump to it because we're running out of time. This is the context of which that verse comes. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. That verse comes in the context of seeking the welfare of the city. Are you with me tonight? That's where it comes. That's where it lands. When's the last time you really drove around Brisbane? Some of I don't know if this was any of your attitudes, but as we were here and we were praying for Logan and we were praying for the South, some of you might have been like, well, I live on the North, or I live on the West, or I live on the East, South. Sow yourself. If we're really taking root here, God brings the blessing. So we should own it. We should take the attitude of praying and believing for God's blessing. Even as a student here, for some of us, we may be here, studying for our degree. Take the attitude of, God, you've got me here. I know I'm only here for like 2 years or 3 years. And I know, at least for what I can see from in the immediate future, God, you want me back home. But I will be here. I will be present. In every conversation that I have here, I will be present in the way I sow myself and serving and giving, because I know that there will be a blessing if and when I do leave. It's the attitude. That's where that comes. And that's where the rest of the verses come. Verse 13 says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And this is when that meets us in a geographical location, is when God puts us in a place and we don't come kicking and screaming, oh God, I don't want to have, like, I know that there are certain ones of us, that may carry an attitude like, Brisbane is privileged to have Nelly here. Psh. I'll end with this story. I remember when I was moving to Singapore, going on to 9 years ago, I just married Tina. Oh, Tina just married me. And God had spoken to me clearly to move to Asia over a period of about 18 months. He really grew my heart for Asia, really grew my heart for the nation of Singapore. But there was still this attitude of, oh, well, I'm going to show them because, I can do this and I can do that. And so I went, and we were getting ready to board the flight, and I was there at the airport. How many of you know Auckland Airport, right? You can always tell when there's a Samoan or a Tongan flight that's about to leave because the car park is packed, man. Someone's only going for 2 weeks, but the whole village is at the airport, right? Pull the guitars out, singing farewell songs. My goodness. They got the things called, for those of you who aren't Samoan or Tongan, they have things called ula lole, which are like candy necklaces for you to dine on amidst your commiseration on the 3 to 4 hour flight, to only be in the islands for like 5 days and come back. But the whole village is farewelling you. They're all at the airport, right? Oh, we're going to miss you. So can you imagine, right? I'm a Fife Au son. I'm a minister's son. And I've been there for 31 years at the time. About to leave. And like all my family friends are there. I got ula loles, so much ula loles that you can't see my face anymore. You know, and I'm bawling my eyes out. My wife is wondering, what did I just marry? This guy is, I'm going to miss them all. So here I am thinking, okay, I'm going to Singapore. And I'm coming with my ula lole. Like, I like the big old ula lole where it's not just like little minties and stuff like that. It's like the whole Snickers bar. You know, Snickers bar, Mars. Snickers, Mars. Like, hum, hum, you know. So I am in like total misery on the flight, and I'm flying to Singapore, and I'm thinking, wow, it's going to be the same reception as the flight over. You know, just before I flew, I thought, man, when I land in Singapore, see me, watch me, love me. My luggage. I walk out from customs, and I walk out. Do you hear that noise? That's the noise that was there. There was no noise. Voila in Filipino. No one there to greet me. And I remember, you know, oh, this is because I'm a creative and I get emotional sometimes, you know. And I remember walking out there and my wife, God bless Tina, man. She put up with a lot with me. We went to that terminal. It was Terminal 2 in Changi. I remember it clearly. And we went to this place called Swinson's. Remember we used to have that in New Zealand? It's still there in Singapore, old-fashioned. And so we went there, and we ate their microwave substance that's known as fish and chips there. And I'm sitting there just miserable, thinking, where's my welcome? You know, where's the senior pastor? And, you know, nobody here, not even a little mint. Forget the whole necklace, man. Just give me a lifesaver or something, man. Come on. So I'm sitting there. That's just pathetic, to be honest, if I look on the outside looking at myself, but I'm just sitting there, tears. I think I lost like 5 kilos on that flight just from crying. And I was just sitting there crying. And my, you know, I remember the Holy Spirit speaking to me quite clearly in that moment. And I heard him say exactly what Lily said, which is why I'm preaching this sermon to you now. Nellie, I called you to Singapore. Not because of you, not just because of you. Sure, I love you, and sure, there's things I want to teach you in this process while you're here. But I called you here to serve Singapore, to serve Asia. You're here to serve them. They're not here to serve you. And you got to understand that, because I know a lot of you, the Polynesians in here will understand the context of being a Fife Au. It's interesting that word in Psalm 1, Fife Au, means to serve, Fai means to do, and Fe'au means works of service. But it's interesting, growing up in a Fai Fe'au's home, that we were the ones that were often served. Now, no disrespect to my father and all of that. He was one who served, for sure. But God really renewed my mind and renewed my thinking. I'm there to serve. And I want to challenge the 90% of us that put our hands up, that have come in here with the attitude, what can I get from Queensland? What can I get from my university, from my job, because I'm just going to suck up the resources and leave. And that's not what the Spirit of the Lord would say. Spirit of the Lord would say, you're here to serve. You're here to give of yourself. And in the giving of yourself, you will either accelerate the process towards what is next or deepen your relationship with God through it all. Some of us may be in trials and in those positions of circumstance that we find ourselves because of this attitude that we've carried. God, you said it was going to be better than what I had back wherever it was. And God would say, no, you need to shift your attitude. You need to repent tonight, just like I did. And I continue to do. I'm here because God called me here, and I love to serve. I'd love to be a part of what God is doing here. And so I encourage you, if If you're finding yourself being miserable here, find yourself owning where God has you now. And as you take ownership of where God has you now, God will accelerate your process and your deliverance out of your circumstance. But if your attitude remains the same, your circumstance will remain the same. But in seeking the welfare of this city, of this state, of this nation, you too will prosper. You too will have welfare. God will take care of you. Let's all stand to our feet. Alex, can I get you to come down? Has this been helpful for anybody here tonight? I just want us just to bow our heads and close our eyes tonight and just ask God where, or even just find, reflect and ask yourself where you are with this whole situation. Have you really taken ownership of where you are, whether you're living here or you're living elsewhere? How's the depth of your friendships and your relationships here? How have you been able to seek and find opportunities to serve in the city that you live in or the community that you live in with the gifts that you have? God wants us to take root where we are. And if you find yourself in a position where you're needing to repent, and don't think that word repentance is an ugly word. It's actually a beautiful word because God gives us the opportunity. In the Greek, the word for repentance is a change of mind, metanoia. That God can change your attitude if you'll just say, Lord, I submit my mind, I submit my heart. I'm turning around, I'm turning towards you. If that's you tonight and you're wanting to make that change, the universal sign of surrender, no matter where you are in the world, is to lift both hands to the Lord. Just lift both hands to the Lord. Say, God, I'm yours. I will. I commit to taking root with where you have me. Have your way in me. Lord, you see these hands that are lifted. My hands are lifted too, God. I'm here for the long haul with the attitude of the long haul. And I pray, God, that you would have your way in each one who submits their heart, submits their life to dwelling in the land that you have us in. Sure, it may be exilic, Lord God, but Lord, we find ourselves in a place, in a position you've guided us towards, and we will take root. Lord, grant to us opportunities. Grant to us, just open up avenues for us to be able to serve, to be able to preach your gospel, to be able to sow ourselves where we are. And we thank you, Lord, that your presence is the place we call home. And as your presence has moved us here or wherever it may be, Lord, we take root right where you have us. Have your way in Jesus' name. Just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If there are any of you tonight who would say, Lord, I want more than just taking root and taking position of where I want to, where you want me to be, I want to give you my whole heart. I want to give you my whole life tonight. Maybe you've been in a position where other things have taken precedence or other things have taken priority in your life, but you're realizing tonight that Jesus is not your priority. If that's you tonight and you're desiring to hand your life over to the one who gave it to you in the first place, I just want you to just lift your hand to me so I know who I'm praying for tonight. If that's you, we won't prolong it. Jesus. Lord, I just pray for the ones who desire to give their lives and their hearts to you, Lord God. We pray that you would have your way in us. Lord, we turn from our selfish and our wicked ways and we turn towards you with an attitude of repentance, thanking you for your forgiveness and you cleansing us and making us whole tonight. And we thank you so much for life and life more abundantly. We thank you, Lord, that we find the purpose and the plan to prosper us and not to harm us is found as we seek the welfare of where you've called us. We thank you that we have the opportunity to live eternally with you, our great God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, just before we dismiss, I just wanted to you know, just pray that you would find opportunities throughout this week to sow yourself where God has called you. Amen. How many of you could believe God to really see God open up those opportunities for you to, like, preach the gospel or to serve the city or to really just take root in the place where, whether it's Brisbane or elsewhere? Because I really believe that God wants to bless this church, but this church will enter into a new level of blessing if we become a people that bless the land. Amen? Don't forget, next week, we want to bless the land by praying for the land on Valentine's Day. Don't worry, it's in the morning and the early afternoon, so in the evening, you can do the Valentine's night stuff. Or if you're single, you can hang out with other singles and pray and see what God does. Or you can just pray because you love Jesus and you're married to him or whatever, you know. But I just wanted to invite you to come out and pray with us. It would be awesome if you could join us. But God bless you. Have an awesome week. Don't forget to come out and hang out with us and fellowship with us outside. You're dismissed. Have a great night. Good night.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for listening. God bless.